With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of All the Small Games, an indie game podcast hosted by me, Andrew Levins, and one of my best friends in the world, Jonathan Valenzuela.
Hey Levins, as always, great to see you on my computer screen. Highlight of my week, quite frankly.
I've been here for 14 weeks now. Yeah. Oh no, we haven't done an in-person episode in how long now?
Oh, since beginning
best
of last,
episode last
end,
year.
End of, yeah, and best of last year.
Yeah, wow. Time flies when you're stuck on Zoom.
Yeah.
But hey, man, let's stop talking about how depressing 2021 is because it just got fucking insane because there is a nonstop rush of indie games going straight to my veins right now. And for the first time all year, I'm like, holy shit, how am I going to play all these goddamn games that I really want to play?
Absolutely the same here. I am
no pacing whatsoever. Like we could have absolutely done with a few of these in January to April.
Yeah,
but instead we're getting them all now. Do you want me to remind you of all the games? I know. Do you want me to remind you of all the games that have come out in the last week?
Yes, hit me.
So from the last week, like I guess since we last recorded, here are all the games that have come out that I am. These are both small and big games that have come out in the last week that I intend to play somehow. So we have Eastwood, we have mm-hmm. Toem, mm-hmm. Skatebird, a frog game called Dojiran, Tales of Iron, Flynn, Son of Crimson, Aragami 2, Deathloop, Castlevania Grimoire of Souls, and Deltarune Chapter 2.
Of course, yes. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for it's a lot. One week.
I was like playing a little bit of Eastwood and going, oh man, this is probably going to be all I can feasibly play for this episode, and feeling like, oh, maybe I should try a bit harder to play a few more of them, and then yeah, thankfully was able to play a bit of Toem, and imagine my delight when you did the same. So those are the games that we'll be reviewing this week. But just a few like extra shout outs there, like Flynn Son of Crimson, I think is flying under the radar at the moment, but it's on Game Pass.
Okay.
So is Skatebird and Aragami 2, but Flynn Son of Crimson is a like an 8-bit, or no, 16-bit 2D action platformer that's been published by Humble Bundle.
Ooh,
Humble
okay.
Games. And developed by Studio Thunderhorse, which that seems... they did Bushiden? No, they didn't. I don't know what they did. Studio Thunderhorse, they did something. Something that we liked. But yeah, it looks like a real fun, you know, frantic, beautifully animated 2D action game, which is 100% my kind of shit. And Humble Games, I try and play every single one of their games, and this is one of them, so I got to play it. You can find that on Game Pass. And yeah, Aragami 2 and Skatebird are on there too. If you have Game Pass and want to try a brand new game, that's where to go. Skatebird, unfortunately, not getting the amazing reviews I was hoping it was going to get. But
yeah,
I'm definitely going to give it my own shot.
It sounds like, because I read a few of the reviews, and a lot of the stuff they're talking about is stuff that when I played the demo, I was like, man, I hope they're going to fix this stuff up. And yeah, it doesn't look like they have. So I mean, if it's on Game Pass, I might give it a quick go just to see, you know, what did change from that demo period, but I don't know if I'm going to sink a lot of time into it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I mentioned a game with a frog in it called Dojoran, which is Dojo Ran. And this is a game that came out on Steam a little more recently. But yeah, it's just hit Switch, PlayStation 5, and a bunch of other things. Oh, no, it's only just come out in the last week on everything.
Okay.
And it is, it's by that, the company that put out, what was the Blade, Within the Blade that you reviewed recently?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Remember how we were like, man, this publisher puts out like a shit ton of games.
Yep.
Rataleika games. Dojoran is like a game where you play as like a frog. I'm just confirming that by skimming through the trailer now as I talk. But like beautiful black and white pixel graphics. It looks really good, and it's around the $10 mark on Switch. Definitely give that one a look too if you like frogs. Who doesn't like frogs?
But what's the basis of the game? What is it?
Okay, I'm watching the trailer. to survive in a dangerous world, John.
Okay.
We've got a close-up of a frog. now we see the frog from behind. You must pass the difficult training of your ancestors, John. And now we see a frog running as Dojoran, the title screen. And it's a pixel platformer.
Right.
Running and jumping. Wall slide. Oh my god, this soundtrack, John. You got to hear it. I wish you could hear the soundtrack right now. The synths. Learn the apple technique, John, to go further. This game looks fucking amazing.
Okay.
It reminds me, the graphics remind me a lot of Downwell.
Right.
It
okay,
being another, like, you know, 8-bit black and white platformer, but this is less going down and more going from left to right as a frog. And getting apples. I'm giving this a shot tonight. It looks super fun.
Sweet. Okay.
And of course, Deltarune. That's the big news from the week. Is that Toby Fox shadow dropped out of nowhere the second chapter of Deltarune.
Shadow dropped for follow-up. Free. I understand.
Yeah, just like the first chapter was. Yeah. He made it free for PC and Mac when it first came out, and then a few months later down the track, made it free on Switch as well. But yeah, this is his follow-up to the Undertale, one of the best received indie games of the last two decades. And now I loved Deltarune when it dropped out was like 2 years ago. Certainly my favorite soundtrack to a game that came out that year. And very fucking keen to play a bit more Deltarune. Part of me was like, do I wait until it hits Switch? But then I remembered that Deltarune is one of the few games that I played to completion on my laptop. So my love for Toby Fox bullshit transcends my hatred of playing games on the screen that I stare at 12 hours a day.
I would love it if, you know, during this episode I'm talking about something and I just see your eyes drifting around. And it's like, are you playing Deltarune Chapter 2 right now? This isn't a DJ set, Levins. I need your attention.
And then Tales of Iron is another one. It's Tales with a AI, of course. So this is a rat RPG. It's rats versus... maybe this is another frog one. Is it? It's rats versus frogs. It's a brutal 2D action game made by the same studio, or published by the same studio that did Eldest Souls recently.
Okay, sure.
So if you are wanting to get your ass kicked by some fucking deadly frogs while playing as a rat who is probably hopelessly underpowered when you begin, that's definitely one that you should check out too. Tales of Iron. It just came out in the last week too. These are all games I'm going to try and play. So pray for me because I get minimal gaming time in my life right now, but sometimes you just got to give up sleep.
That is true. So you can, I have done that myself.
So you
myself.
Can kill some frogs.
I'm still like, like I still have to finish Psychonauts 2.
Yeah,
I still have to finish The Artful Escape. I still have to finish Lamentum. There's The Big Con that I really want to play.
Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's sadly.
Oh, really? I thought it was coming to Game Pass. Or is it one of those rare ones that isn't?
Rare. Yeah, it's one. I was like, is it Game Pass? Oh, it's not Game Pass. Crap. But still, I really want to play that. Song of Iron, which is another like 2D action platformer, looks really good.
So there's Tales of Iron and Iron Song of Iron. Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yeah. There's too much. It's too much, Levins. I can't, like, even pre having a daughter, I would still be stressed out by all this.
Yep. And I've been making my way through Deathloop, which is not a small game, but I'm really enjoying it. And I even hooked my old Xbox controller up to my Apple TV so I can play the new Castlevania game. It's not new. It's like they tried to make it a mobile game, and it only was released in Canada, and it got criticized for having way too much gacha bullshit. So they remodeled it, apparently not very much, but it's the same composer as Symphony of the Night. So I want to go. I want to at least play a few levels, see what the soundtrack's like.
Sure.
You know, rip ass as Alucard, and do it from the comfort of my own office using an old Xbox controller, because I can finally play all those games that I think that game Baldo, that's on Apple Arcade, isn't it?
I think so.
It got atrocious reviews. One of the worst reviewed big indie games of the year. So if I want to give that a shot, I can do that I don't have to pay money to do it.
What an attractive proposition. Did you see
it's like the Metacritic is like 40%.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
That was the very kind of inspired by Studio Ghibli.
Yeah. Okay, now that's ringing a bell. Gotcha. Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then Kena, Bridge of Spirits comes out today.
Yeah.
On PlayStation 5. I got a code for HOA, which is another Ghibli-inspired game that I really want to play. Apparently, that's going to be a good one to play with the kids. But like one of the other games we're reviewing today. So, John, do we want to do Eastwood first?
Man, let's do Toem first. Let's get some positivity before you and I have a minor argument.
What? Okay. Well, John, what
teaser
did the parking...
for the rest of the episode.
What did the parking inspector say to the truck driver as he gave two tickets to cars in front of him?
Toem.
You got it, buddy.
Why, Levins? Why? Metacritic gave that setup 20.
Yeah, that's good. I think if it was any less clunky, it would have gotten 10.
Yeah. So Toem is. I mean, was Toem out over the last week? I want to say it is.
Yes.
It was released very recently. So both
one of my games to watch from E3 this year.
You were really excited about it, and you know what? You were excited for the right reason. So it was developed and published by a team called Something We Made, who I'm pretty sure is Swedish based.
These are the guys that in the most recent Nintendo Indie Game Showcase introduced Toem while like walking through the woods. And now that I've played Toem, that makes full sense. But at the time, I thought it was very funny.
Very, very small team. I think only three people in the company, but they obviously would have brought some people in as well. In the game, you play as a young... What would you say you are? Are you a bird? No.
What's your grandma? Very kind of cartoonish... What's your mum? Do you remember what animal your mum is?
No. I can't work it out. I think you're just a very kind of weird cartoony thing.
Yeah, just a cartoon guy. But there's lots of anthropomorphic animals in the world too. Plus animals that just walk around and you take photos of them as pets.
Yeah. So you kind of start off and you have a conversation with your... Again, is it grandma or mum?
I think it's your mum. It's your mum.
Yeah, okay, let's say mum. So you have a conversation with your mum and she tells you that, you know, you're about to go on an adventure to witness a natural phenomenon known as Toem. And, you know, she gives you a little vintage camera with dynamic zoom to take along with you. She's very excited for you to go on this journey. It's all very sweet. And you head out on your quest. And you basically, each area you visit, you get a card that has a bunch of quests, like photo quests and little errands you have to run for people. Every time you complete one, you get a stamp. Once you complete a certain number, you get a free bus ride to the next region to go to, or the next location. It's a very, like, in terms of a gameplay loop, it's very simple. You meet people in the world, they give you little quests to do, you complete the quests, you get a stamp. Once you get enough stamps, you move on to the next area. Or you don't, because more often than not, you'll need like 6 stamps to move on, and there might be 15 challenges in the area you were in. And not once did I move on from an area until I had gotten as many of those quests finished as possible.
Yeah, I can't say the same, because I've been playing it with my kids today, and when I realized I was getting close to the end and there was just one world left, I was like, okay, do I completely finish this second last world? No, I want to see what the last world is so I can talk about it with you.
Okay, right. So that's you've made it fairly far through then.
Yeah, this game is like, you know, I've been complaining about how I keep starting games with my kids that are like 15 hours plus.
Yes.
And kind of realizing, oh shit, that means I've got to play, you know, I can't teach them that it's good to play for video games for hours and hours each day. So at most, we're going to play this 1 hour a day on, like, you know, 5 days a week. You know how the math goes. Yeah, I'm a responsible father over here.
This is all the small numbers.
And I was saying, like, I want one of these small games to be actually small. And Tom, is that it is a perfectly, it's a little toy that you can play with, and there are you know. You move your character around the world, and like you said, there are goals, but you can just spend time in this delightful little box world that you kind of play around in, and you know, yeah, tick off tasks, search for animals to take photos of, figure out the achievements that you need to do. There's so much extra stuff that you can do just by, like, you know, having a little extra time. But if you want to fly through this, which I'm sure would also be a delightful time, you can probably get through this game in, like, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah, easily. Shorter even.
This is like the small game that I've been desperate for the longest time. It's every moment you spend in it is satisfying and relaxing and, like, well thought out. The music's wonderful. And, like, music plays a big part of, like, you know, one of the many unlockables in the game. Like, when you reach certain areas or achieve certain quests, you get gifted a new song for your Walkman. But it's not called a Walkman. It's called a
Hike Lady.
Hike Lady? Yeah, that's
Hike Lady, yeah. Which I thought was very cute.
And very cute is, like, yeah, how I would, like, surmise most of this game. It is so, it's so adorable, but it's also, like, it's quaint in a really nice way. Like, it just, it's a small, it's the perfect example of a small game. I can't say enough good things about this game.
Yes.
Like, it's not particularly challenging, but it definitely does make you think if you want to get 100% completion, that some of the at least, like, 3 or 4 of the photos you have to take in each world that you visit, in each, sorry, suburb town that you visit, are real chin scratches. They're head scratches.
There's a divide between quests that are like, you need to search the world you're in very thoroughly to find stuff. Like, each level, there are people from the Photo Challenge Guild that will give you, like, hey, here's an extra challenge for you. And it's like in the forest area, it's like, take a photo of a mossy rock, an axe, and a pine tree. And so you need to kind of, like, go into the world, and, like, pine tree's easy to find, mossy rock's fairly easy to find. The axe, however, takes a bit of searching. So you need to, it's almost Wes Wally-esque in that sense.
I actually found the axe first. Then I realized, oh, all the trees around me are pine trees.
Exactly. And all the rocks are mossy rocks, basically.
Yeah.
But in the later regions or you know, areas that you're in, they get a little bit harder. Like, you got to search a bit.
Straight up cryptic.
Yeah, you got to search a bit more. There are some that are wildly cryptic. Like, there's one in the regions are there's like a forest region, a seaside region, a city region, and then a mountain region. And in the seaside region,
and you begin your first home region is like a farm.
Yes, and that one's small. There's like 3 quests to do and 4 animals to find. It's fairly easy to knock over quite quickly, with the exception of one of the quests.
The city's enormous.
Huh?
The city is enormous.
Yeah, the city's gigantic. It's crazy to go to that level for the first time and wander around so much, see so many things.
Have you 100% of this game already?
I am very close. I have one more quest to achieve.
True hero.
I've found all the animals. I don't have all the achievements. That's the one thing I'm like, if I really want to knuckle down.
There's 37 achievements.
Yeah.
Some of them you just unlock naturally by, like, visiting new areas. Others are more cryptic.
Yes. Others are more, yeah. But there was one in the the seaside region where it's like a guy wants to whistle a melody, but he doesn't have the inspiration. And you need to go and take a photo of for him and bring it back as inspiration. So I'm
someone else whistling, yep.
Scratching my head trying to work out like, oh, is it this epic picture of a fish or is it this or is it that? And then I saw the guy whistling, opened my camera and realized you could take a photo of the musical notes themselves.
Yep.
And that was when I was like, oh, got it. Okay, cool. So yeah, like there are definitely ones that are like, you get a cryptic clue for what you need to take a photo of, and then you kind of wander the environment and look for things that match that clue.
There's like a sequel to that one in that same world where someone else is looking for a melody. He's like a wizard with a guitar or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't work that one out.
I think once you give the melody to the guy who was looking for a melody, you take a picture of that guy. No. You get the song that he's whistling. You go and play it on your hike lady around the wizard, and the wizard's I love that.
I of course didn't even think that was a hike. I didn't even think that was a mechanic. That makes so much sense.
And there's there's some quests you get that span all of the regions. So in the forest region, you get a punk kid who's like, I like photos of monsters. Go take photos of monsters for me. And I walked around the forest for so long looking for more, like, because you find one monster and I'm like, where are the rest of these fucking monsters? And then it occurred to me, oh, they're probably in other levels. I felt like a bit of an idiot at that point. But
yeah, and there's the same thing going, what you get given, there's like items of clothing that you find or are given throughout the game. And at one point you get given glasses that someone's getting rid of because he finds them so annoying, because these sunglasses, while they look very cool, they also allow you to see ghosts.
Yeah.
So he just keeps getting annoyed by ghosts. And yeah, one of the tasks is you have to help every single ghost in the game.
Yes.
And you can only see the ghosts if you wear these special glasses throughout all the levels. You also need the same glasses to have enough swag. You need to have enough swag to get into a nightclub, because one of the missions is to take a photo of a DJ.
Yeah.
And yeah, you need to wear the sunglasses. The bouncer doesn't let you in unless you have enough swag. And the glasses are the key to the swag.
The forest rave is very cute.
Yes, totally. I love the way, like, you know, it's another like isometric adventure game, of which like almost every game on my top 10 this year is that. But I love the way it's kind of presented as like a toy box that you move around. Like when you move the camera around, I don't really feel as much like I'm moving the camera. I feel like I'm moving the land around my character.
Yeah, definitely.
And that allows you to find all kinds of secrets and like presents and things like that. It's just a game that, even though yeah, it is like quite small, and you know the list of things to do is not enormous, but you get so rewarded just by exploring every inch of what is there.
It for me is definitely in the same vein as like Umurangi Generation. In that,
see that I really liked that, but it wasn't as like. Like this is very much this rewards you constantly.
Yes,
whereas in Umurangi Generation, you have to work a bit harder for it.
That's what I was going for. Is like as great as Umurangi Generation is, it can be a frustrating game in that you just work through and tick off your list and then you're done with the level. Whereas this is every quest finished is a joy. Like it gives you know, maybe you get a little scrap of dialogue with the character you're dealing with or something along those lines, but. It's this constant feedback loop of just pleasurable little interactions with the world and the characters therein, that really, like, I'm almost at the end just because it was one of those, like, I need to keep playing this. This is so much fun. I'm having such a nice time with this that I've got to keep going with. So, you know, it's like last night, my wife goes to bed. The Xbox is on. I've got Artful Escape right there. I've got Psychonauts 2 right there. Nope, I'm curling up on the couch with Toem. Also partially because I knew with Toem, like, I'll have this finished fairly soon.
Sure. Yeah.
It's
you want to stamp it off your list just like you stamp every task off in the game.
Exactly. I'm having an amusing interaction with someone in my world right now based on the game. Quest completed, Levins. Now give me an item of clothing.
One of my favorite items of clothing. So in the forest, you meet someone who's sad and sitting alone, and he's sad that he's near a washing line which has three socks on it, and he's like, "I've lost my favorite sock," and then he says he fell in the water, and when he came out, his sock was missing, something like that. And then so you explore all the forest, and eventually you find somewhere, or someone gives them to you, a pair of socks, and they're soaking wet.
You play a shell game against a ghost.
That's right, and of course you do. So I went in and I gave him his socks, and he was like, "Oh, thank you, my favorite sock. But it was only one favorite sock, so you can have this other one." And it's like, "You got a wet sock. Equip now." And you put it on, and I was walking around with it, like, you know, whatever. Like, isn't that funny? I put on a sock. And then I've been playing this with my kids, and then Archie just goes, "Dad, listen." And every, you know, five or six steps, you hear squelch because the sock is wet. And, like, it annoyed Archie so much that after 10 minutes, he was like, "Can you please take the wet sock off now?" And that's one of my favorite moments playing a game with my kids so far this year. Like, that was just a great moment. The wet sock.
There's even, like, they do a lot of that stuff with the clothing. Like, one of the first items of clothing you get is a pair of wooden clogs.
Yeah, and they suck. They like suck, slow so you down.
They slow you down so much, but they also go like with every step. I did about 2 minutes in them, and then I was like, "Let me try removing these," and suddenly started walking so much faster, and I was like, "I'm never putting them on again." That was so frustrating.
There's definitely someone out there that has played the entire game wearing the clogs, knowing any different.
There should be an achievement for that.
You get sneakers, which like make like, you know, like the sounds your sneakers make on like a basketball court. It's the squeaks throughout the time.
Yeah.
Some of the quests are so inventive. Like, I knew it was going to happen, but like, you start working for a magazine, and there's a, you know, J.J. Jameson esque figure who like demands you take photos for him, and he's so rude, and he only speaks back to you if you're wearing your reporter hat. You have to go inspire someone to put a fashion show on by giving them the right hat. Just so many great little quirks.
My favorite part of that reporter mission, and this is minorly spoilery, but he gives you two tasks: shoot a fashion show and take a photo of a great mustache.
Okay, I've not found the mustache yet. Is it his?
Do you want me to reveal?
No, okay. That's just my guess, but yeah.
Wait, what was your guess?
Is it his mustache? No. It is. Okay, John's nodding.
Yeah. I didn't want to say the spoiler out loud, but it's just like, you take the photo and give it to him. He's like, "That's right. I have the best mustache in this town."
This game has brought us so much joy. And I love that we both it's definitely like our kind of game. And I've played a lot of photography games this year. I've played, aforementioned Umurangi Generation, new Pokemon Snap, but Tom gets my award for best photography game of the year. Congratulations, Tom.
Congratulations. Absolutely, yeah. Loved it. Looking forward to ticking off this last thing and then maybe idly making my way through some achievements. But the time I've had, even though it's short, awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah. This is like when I think of why I like small games. It's this or a Metroidvania.
Yeah. All right, shall we move on? Oh, hold on. Maybe we should take a moment for a word from our sponsors.
Thank you for remembering, King.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right. Thanks, sponsors. Now it's time to talk about one of the most eagerly awaited indie games of the year, and that is Eastwood, I think Chinese-made game, right?
Yes.
I believe it was developed by Pixpill and published by Chucklefish. This game came out on the 16th of September, I think the same day that Toem did. Toem is available on the Switch, the PC, and the PlayStation 5 and 4,
yes.
I guess. So this game, Eastwood, what's it available on? Everything? It's on Steam and I think it's on Steam and Switch at this point.
Yes, that sounds about right.
When I first saw Eastwood show up in a Nintendo Indie World Showcase, maybe at the end of last year, I think it was, the game reminded me a lot of, like, it looks a lot like Earthbound and even like those, Eastwood, Earthbound. It's another like isometric adventure game. almost every game that we've talked, I feel like every week we talk about another isometric adventure game.
Oh, it's the perfect, it's a relatively, I guess, low effort's not the right word, low resource, it's like a resource light way to make a game, essentially. Sure. Like full-blown 3D world is difficult. Isometric's easy.
Yeah, for sure. This is one of the most beautiful games, like from an art point of view. The level of detail in the backgrounds as you make your way around this. I mean, how would you describe it? Is it like post-apocalyptic? Is that
It's post-apocalyptic, definitely.
Yeah. You play as an old dude named John who has taken in a young lady named Sam. Who live in a caravan, and John is known as like one of the best miner in the town, the best digger in town. Well, every day he goes to the mines and digs, but times have been bad lately, and they're not finding anything of worth in the mines. Not even any tin, I believe the line is. And John spends more time on his day at work that you spend with him, killing slugs with a frying pan than he does doing any digging. In fact, he does no digging whatsoever. The big fat mayor visits you and says, "What the hell, Sam? Why are you in the mines with John? You need to go to school. I demand you go to school." And so Sam is excited because they've never gone to school before. And you send her off for her first day of school. But before you do that, you introduce to another part of this game, which is an RPG that John grew up playing and now Sam is playing for the first time. And the way you play the RPG is by... And it's like a classic turn-based RPG that all the kids in town play. And you can play it by like buying a memory card and logging on at like the convenience store at the front of a store and playing the RPG that way. But yeah, the bulk of this game is the isometric adventure game. At the start, you start out, your only weapon is a frying pan and some bombs. And I guess it progresses from there. How far into this game are you, John?
So I am up to the kind of... I guess if you count the underground area as like the first area, I'm up to the third.
Okay.
What about yourself?
I'm in the second area then.
So you're in the like foresty kind of area.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay, cool. So basically how to put this? Sam is constantly going on, and it's worth mentioning that Sam is a girl that John found. Like, John is a digger, and I think what they're digging out is, like, relics from the post-apocalyptic, like, from pre-apocalyptic age. I think is what they're looking for. And he finds it's set up in a like cutscene at the very beginning of the game, or like an opening, an intro animation when
insane
you log the game in.
Intro.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really.
So
well
much
done.
Happens in that intro. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I watched it and I was like, what did I just watch? I don't have the context for anything I just saw. But
it
then
it's like an OVA from an anime. Like someone just like making not an OVA. What's it called when you make a music clip set to
AVI?
You like pick like a you get like a Linkin Park song and then you just set anime clips over the top of it. I don't know, whatever. It had an acronym, whatever.
Yeah.
Real ones no.
Anyway, you find out in this opening animation that he found Sam in like some kind of gestation pod or like, you know, like container full of orange liquid at the beginning of the game and that's how
it's
they wound
sun-kissed.
Up together. Yeah, totally. Mm. Anyway, Sam keeps talking about the surface. And how the surface, like, because the you know, everybody in this underground town is like, oh, the surface is, it's destroyed and it's unlivable and no one can go there and it's toxic and all this kind of stuff. But Sam is like, no, the surface is blue skies and green trees. Like, it's blue above and green below kind of thing. Like, it's beautiful up there. We should all go up there. And eventually the mayor, like, throws you in prison, you and Sam in prison for her continually talking about the surface. And then when you escape from prison, he says, right, I'm giving you to Charon, which, you know, fans of ancient belief systems will know is the name of the ferryman across the river Styx.
Also fans of the game Hades and Spiritfarer.
Oh, of course. Yep.
he's in both.
And then you kind of discover that Charon is not exactly what it seems. It's actually a still operating subway train. And you get a great, very cathartic scene where you like explode the mayor's mansion as the train kind of moves along. Anyway, but it sets you off on this journey. And the journey is continually going eastward, hence the name of the game. And you start to kind of like, I won't go too deep into the story, but you start to learn that like there's some kind of, it's that classic, because this is, am I correct in thinking this is like heavily modeled off JRPGs in terms of like setting and story and that kind of thing?
I'd say definitely influenced, yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of like there's clearly like some kind of military industrial conspiracy going on in the background to do with this thing called Miasma. That like has, you know, it potentially I think is the thing that destroyed the world. I know definitely in the third town, there are people that talk about like, oh, they've built some technology to stop the miasma and this kind of stuff. That's probably enough story. I mean, I haven't gotten much further than that, so I can't speak.
We know that John is heading eastward towards criticism of this game, and I can't wait till we get there.
Look, I want to preface this by saying this is not a bad game. It's not. I totally agree with you that the art style of this game is beautiful. They have crafted such an incredible world to look at. Particularly, like, I love anything that layers a new civilization on top of post-apocalyptic ruins. I think that's such a fantastic basis for any kind of story because you can balance the old and the new ways and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One criticism I have, and it's funny holding this up against Toem, it's one thing holding up against Toem is they've crafted this beautiful world to look at, but there's very little interactivity with it. Like, I almost wish you had points where you could get the characters, or I say characters, character, only Sam talks, John is silent. But get them to comment on what you see on screen. Do you get where I'm coming from here?
Yeah.
Okay. Because like Toem, there's admittedly Toem doesn't do that. You can't like look at, oh, there are some points where it gives you a little bit of context about the game. But one thing in particular I noticed with Toem is any seat in the game in Toem, you can sit in it. It's such a small detail, but it really helps you to feel like you're part of the world.
Sure.
All I had with Eastwood was just, this is beautiful, but I don't feel like I'm part of this world, essentially, because there's... I mean,
you can turn taps on.
Yeah, okay, that's true. That's true. You can also pat animals.
You can leave them running.
You can pat animals in the game as well. All right, so there are some minor points, but this is just a personal thing where I'm so fascinated by this world that I wanted more small touch points that told me more about it. And this is the issue I had with a game like What Remains of Edith Finch, is that they created this incredible house but gave me very little opportunity to learn more about it outside of the main plot line, which is kind of what you get in this as well. Like, you can talk to people around the game, but, you know, you can never specifically be like, that looks like a subway train. What is that? And have them be like, oh, it's an old iron carriage that used to, you know, et cetera, that kind of thing. Are we just running through my grievances at this point?
I may as well go. I'll bring it back to the positive if you like.
Sure. I'll continue. What was one of the other ones I had? It feels padded. I know I'm Mr. Story essentially, but there's a lot of like, I've just run into too many instances of like, I go through a lengthy cutscene. It's like, okay, so I'll go on this mission then. I'll walk one screen over and immediately be back in another lengthy cutscene again. And I'm just like,
okay, yeah.
Let me play the friggin' game.
That's very much in line with the JRP genre for sure. Not that this is one, but yeah, like I said, influenced by one. I was feeling that too, but I thought that was more a case of my brain being broken after playing 12 hours of WarioWare Get It Together. And just getting used to, like, feel like, oh, this game is more than 5 seconds long. Like, and not being able to handle, like, yeah, cutscenes at the moment to me are, like, particularly excruciating.
But, I mean, this is, like, if I'm raising this issue about cutscenes, then clearly we are hitting some kind of red bar on a gauge here. Because that's, like, I found myself going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let me get back to wandering around. Let me get back to exploring this fantastic world.
I do really love the characters of John and Sam, and, like, you know, I obviously haven't met many beyond that. Like all the characters from the town, I think they're all really well developed. Even like at the beginning when you meet all of John's coworkers, and one of them's lazy, and like I think that the writing is really good.
Well, it's hard to find John lovable because he doesn't talk.
Yeah, but like every one of my favorite characters is a silent protagonist, so okay. I always love the silent protagonist.
But talking about padding, there's other more subtle ways that it's padded, and this again could go back to, look, I have little to no experience with JRPGs. I'll put that down there now. I'm sure there are some listeners who are just like, forget John's opinion forever. He hasn't played this genre of game that's one of my favorites, etc. Fine. If I'm cancelled for that, I'm cancelled for that. I'll go live on the island with the rest of the cancelled people. But there's one bit in particular that I've thought of that speaks to this, but there's a lot more of this scattered throughout the game, which is, you know, when you go down into the mines, at the very beginning when you're underground, you walk down a set of stairs, you walk mm-hmm. past those three doors, which are the dormitories for the diggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You then go down another set of stairs, which puts you in a screen that is just a corridor that turns a right angle. So you walk through that corridor and out the other door, and then you're in the like little section that starts the mine, right?
Yeah.
Why did they need that little right-angled corridor?
Because I don't know, it feels like a journey. I don't know, I like it.
I'm of the opinion
I get to see more art. It rules.
But there's so little art on that screen. There's nothing particularly
it's
interesting.
It's a beautiful
about it.
Corridor.
Oh, God damn it. You currently have a Danzig fringe, so it's very like hard to be...
I know, yeah, sorry. It's an accident. I haven't had a haircut in a long time.
Neither.
The Danzig fringe happens very easily.
It is horrible. But it's just... It was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if you're trying to make this feel like, oh, this is how it really operate. You're like... The orientation of the previous room is that way. The orientation of the room you're going to enter is a different way. So we need this connecting corridor to make sure that your characters reorient themselves and it feels like you're properly entering. But I just feel like if I'd walk down the stairs one way and come out a doorway another way, I would just be like, yep, that's fine. This is a video game. I don't need, you know, I'm not feeling like, oh shit, what the hell just happened? Like, so many just like even when you get to the third area, there is a mansion that you have to go into, and it takes you four screens of navigating stuff. And I'm not, by navigating, I don't mean like it's a maze or anything difficult. It's literally like I walk in a straight line from a door to a ladder, climb the ladder and walk out another door, you know, like etc., etc. I just, it's one of those things where individually it's not too bad, but cumulatively it just started really wearing on me after a while.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is like, this feels like playing like a Chrono Trigger, or like I said earlier, like an Earthbound, where like I guess that kind of stuff was prevalent in the SNES era JRPGs that were coming, or you know, action games that were coming out then, big adventure games. What was the game I played last year? Was it like Chrono? God, what the hell was it called? I'll figure it out. But it feels, if you liked, oh god damn it. The fuck was it called?
Want me to vamp while you just you?
Yeah, I'll work on a really good compliment to get out of your vamp.
No. I mean, look, but this is what I'm saying is that because I don't have that nostalgic connection to this type of game, or the type of game that obviously very heavily inspired Eastwood, that's why I'm finding these things as flaws rather than, oh, it's like the experience I used to have.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's less like, oh, it feels like a game I used to play. More like, oh, this is that genre of game.
Sure, but even so, that's still exactly the point I'm saying. It's like a point-and-click adventure. I have a much higher tolerance of point-and-click adventures because they're such a nostalgic experience for me. But I can totally see why other people would be like, why the fuck would you play this kind of game? It's straight-up boring or frustrating or whatever.
Crosscode is the game I was thinking
Crosscode,
of.
Crosscode, that's the one. Yeah. It's I mean, I guess my one other... Oh, yeah, one other thing that really bugged me, and I think this is a mechanical thing that I'm fair about, and I may be wrong, and they may have this, and I just haven't used it or found it, but it is wild to me that there is no button that you can use to hot swap weapons.
Okay, yeah. All right, I haven't gotten enough weapons for that to be a problem yet, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
For me, it's like my main criticism is that the combat lacks any real depth. I would have loved the option to dodge, or you know, like yeah. I don't know, just something a bit more than just hit repeatedly, mashing. But it works for the kind of game it is, I guess. Like it's a, you know, light puzzle action adventure game.
I very much enjoyed the section of the game. I think there's one during that first where you and Sam are split up, and you know, John's walking along like the bottom path, Sam's walking along mm-hmm. the top path, and you need to kind of like solve puzzles separately like that. I really enjoyed those sections that I've come across so far. There's definitely a few more of them scattered throughout. Found them very enjoyable. You know, it's never anything too head-scratching. It's fairly light puzzling, but it's enjoyable for what it is. I totally, you raised a point that the lack of a dodge is definitely something that... taking on some of the boss battles, I'm like, it would have been really useful to have a dodge during this section. There are puzzle areas later in the game. You get a flamethrower, you use it to burn through these weeds that can hurt you. And there are sections where you need to burn weeds, and you can use your flamethrower to destroy these little bulbs that are making the weeds grow back. But you have limited ammo, so you know, I was like, I'll use my frying pan so I'm not running out of ammo while, you know, for any weeds I run into later on down the track. And switching weapons to be like, okay, I've burnt them, now I need to open the weapon screen, manually go over to the frying pan, select the frying pan, etc., etc. Whereas if there was just a button that if I pressed it, it would cycle through the weapons I had so far, it would have made that experience feel so much less clunky. So I am not familiar with this genre, so my opinion might not be necessarily on point here. That is a mechanical, goddamn it, put a fucking weapon hot swap button in this game, guys.
So will you play more of it, do you think, or are you good on the Eastwood front?
I think I will return to it. I think now that I've ripped through most of Toem, it's the game I'm playing on my Switch currently. Like there are Xbox
it's
games.
It's enormous, by the way. It's apparently like 30 hours long.
Yeah, I may run out of steam, but I will keep playing for the moment.
Okay. It's your Switch game.
Yes, that's until something else comes out on Switch that offers a better option, essentially.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to, like, you know, chipping away at it week by week. It's not something I'm going to be like, you know, oh, who knows? It may get its hooks completely into me, and I may devote all my time to it. But I knew what kind of game it was going to be, and it definitely is that, like a very, okay, very story focused adventure game that harkens back to the SNES era. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Eastwood, it's out now on Switch and PC.
Wait, weren't you going to be heaps complimentary about it to balance out my negativity?
Well, I don't want to be like, John's wrong.
No, but this is opinion based. Yeah. Like, what is your opinion?
Well, like I said, like, you know, I think when you judge a game, you judge it based on the kind of game it's trying to be, and I think this is absolutely nailing the kind of adventure game it is trying to create.
Okay.
Like I said, if you enjoyed CrossCode, which came out on Switch last year, which is another like isometric adventure game, I think I liked that a little bit more because the combat options were very, very plentiful, but that got really clunky about from like the 10-ish hours point onwards, and I stopped playing it because slowdown happened heaps. I haven't heard any gripes from, I think this, like, Eastwood plays very well the whole way through, from what I've read. So for performance wise, maybe Eastwood is a bit more of a safe bet than CrossCode. I don't know if CrossCode may have been patched, whatever. I'll stop talking about CrossCode. It's great. But yeah, I mean, if you love, like, you know, your Chrono Triggers, you know, that era of JRPGs and adventure games, it's even like a little bit of Zelda in Eastwood. This is definitely, like, you know, a big meaty adventure game that with a pretty interesting story, full of lots of, like, colorful characters and good writing, I think, for the most part as well. It's, you know, it's a lot of text. It's a lot of reading. My biggest thing I'm thankful for is that it wasn't voice acted. I think that would slow the game down even more.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think the biggest compliment you can give to a game is like, oh, it is nailing what it's trying to do. And maybe what it's trying to do won't appeal to everybody. But it's definitely doing what I hoped it would do. And I'm looking forward to getting further stuck into it.
I will say that the story itself, I am curious to see where it goes, which I think is enough of a driver to keep me playing it for a little bit longer. I have a prediction of where it's going, and I want to see if my prediction is correct.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we both try and finish it this year. Have you started, like, thinking about what your top 10 indie games of the year are yet?
I mean, look, there's some that have definitely, like, obviously Death's Door is in there.
Yeah.
It has been popping into my head.
Okay.
Like, I need to go back and look at everything I've played this year again. I think, honestly, Toem will make the list.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, like, looking at, like, that those 10 games or whatever that have come out in the last week and going, okay, I've got to make time to try and play some of them. Like, some of them may show up on the list. Like I said, on top of all those games, Kena, Bridge of Spirits comes out today. And then, you know what comes out in 2 days, right?
Sable.
So these are all, like, huge. And I forgot to mention on the podcast, I played through the demo of that. Fuck, man, the demo is so good.
Really?
And it's way more expansive than I thought it was going to be, too. Like, I almost, like, you do a lot.
Sweet.
And you get to explore so much of the world. I'm very excited to get lost in that game.
I'm just seeing the end of Psychonauts 2 receding into the distance, like, knowing that Sable is just about to come out. Yeah, goddamn, I'm so looking forward to playing Sable.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, like, play a little bit of Deathloop, a little bit of Toem, a little bit of Eastwood, and then, like, I've got Psychonauts 2 to get through.
This is the worst version of Mambo Number 5 ever.
A little bit of you keeps me so tired. Dun, 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 dun. So anyway, look, that's it for today's episode. We hope you are enjoying Toem and Eastwood as well. We'll be back next week with a review of Sable. And who knows what else? Like I said, there's a ton of games out right now. So hopefully if you were like, I don't know what to play, we've given you many, many options. Hopefully too many options.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure everything mentioned in the show today is worth your time. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can, allthesmallgames@gmail.com. We have one email to get through today. And man, I'm sorry to Sebastian, but you picked the wrong week to recommend us a game.
Oh, boy.
Because there's just way too many. Damn, but here we go. Sebastian says, Kia ora, John and Levins. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I really appreciate your constant recommendations of what small games I might enjoy on the Switch, so I thought it's time to give back. I recently stumbled on a very small, cool YouTube channel for a long-running animated series called Tux and Fanny. They've recently released a feature film, so I was intrigued and dove in. The series basically follows two friends called Tux and Fanny who inexplicably speak Russian and have wholesome but strange adventures in the forest around their home. The series is quite lovely and fun, but sometimes dark, and after watching a bit, I was really hooked. Then I find out that they have a Switch game based on the series in the works. And then I found out that it was due to release in 2 days' time. The game is out now on Switch and PC, and I love it. It's a sort of point-and-click adventure game, but is quite sparse on story and is more focused on lovely world-building and fun. I don't really want to give away a lot of the surprises in it, but there's heaps of fun minigames and zines in it. You can play as a cat and a flea, and it's only like $13. Okay. I highly recommend it. I haven't heard anyone talking about it yet, so I wanted to spread the love in whatever ways I could. Love your work, Sebastian.
Well, thank you, Sebastian. You said the three magic words for me, which is point and click. So consider me.
You said the one magic word for me, which is Fanny.
Ooh. So consider me intrigued. I'll hop on the eShop. I'll take a look for it.
Yeah, I've never heard of the series either. And the movie, man, this has got a whole thing going on.
Yeah, we've been missing out on the Tux and Fannyverse all this time.
The entire feature film is on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Or it was someone else making, because it was published on the 1st of April, so maybe this is someone doing a bit. But it's an hour and 20 minutes long, apparently.
Sweet, okay.
Let's go deep into the Fannyverse together, hand in hand.
Oh, God.
So yeah, if you want to send us an email like Sebastian did, allthesmallgames@gmail.com, if we read your email out on the show, I'll email you back and give you a invite to our Discord community. The other way to join our Discord is to sign up to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/allthesmallgames. And not only do you get access to our Discord, that's the side thing. The main reason you sign up is because you get bonus episodes every single month. We just recorded our most recent Game of the Month episode, which is all about the game
Inside
by Playdead from 2016. We did an hour-long episode about Inside and Limbo and games kind of that ilk. Our thoughts then, our thoughts now. It was very fun revisiting that game with John. And previous to that, we've done episodes on The Stanley Parable, on
Bastion.
Bastion.
VVVVVVV.
That's the one. And we just put a questionnaire up, a voting form up in our Discord for the next Game of the Month nominees, and they are Hollow Knight and SteamWorld Dig 2, two very, very legendary Metroidvania games that you can play on Switch. And surprisingly, SteamWorld Dig 2 is in the lead at the moment. So yeah, if you want to upset that vote, head over to patreon.com/allthesmallgames. And just a little secret, whatever one we don't do first, we'll do second. Because yeah, those are two games that I think John and I could speak about for hours and hours at a time.
This is true. And we also Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I was just saying hey.
Hey.
I was just going to say, on top of our Game of the Month club, we also are recording another podcast, All the Other Things, which is basically anything else from the world of culture that we've been enjoying lately. So it could be big games, could be movies, TV shows, comics, all that kind of stuff.
I think we should try and record that on Friday this week. How do you feel about that, John?
I'm getting my second vaccination on Friday, so no, sir.
Thursday it is.
Thursday sounds good. Very much looking forward to that one. I've been watching some good stuff lately.
Let's give a little bit of a teaser, because I know what I've been I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about one of our favorite directors, Stephen Chow, best known for his movies Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer. I've been revisiting a lot of his movies with my wife over the last few weeks. We watched one of his most recent ones, The Mermaid. Of course, Kung Fu Hustle, she'd never seen it before. And just this weekend, we watched From Beijing with Love, which is his first directed movie, which is a James Bond spoof movie that John and I watched a handful of times when we were 19 and probably stoned. It's a wonderful movie, and it was so fun revisiting it, and I'm looking forward to talking about all those movies with you, John.
Definitely. I have the new series on Disney Plus, Only Murders in the Building.
Steve Martin,
Martin Short, and Selena Gomez.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah. You know, the original Three Amigos. so that I've been watching. I also have... I recently watched the... new, it's kind of a hybrid special and documentary from American comedian Rory Scovel called Live Without Fear.
Oh, cool. One of your favorites.
Yeah, and it is it's a really interesting premise that I will get into on the next episode of All the Other Things.
We'll probably talk about Star Wars Visions as well, because that okay. that airs on Wednesday. Are you going to watch that with Joe?
Perhaps.
It's the Star Wars anime anthology. I'm so excited. Some of the animation looks fucking incredible.
All right. Well, I think I could get Joe in on that, I reckon.
I think the first episode is going to be like 17 minutes long or something like that. So not too much of a commitment.
Cool. That's right. Nice and snack-sized.
You can hear All the Other Things and our Game of the Month Club at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. We'd love for you to come and join us to hear those discussions and add to the discussions in our Discord community. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Again, we can be found on Facebook, facebook.com/allthesmallgames, or on Twitter, @allthesmallgame. John is @16tacos on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @levdog, L-E-V-D-A-W-G. And of course, my other podcasts are Hey Fam and Serious Issues, updating every single week. And you can find them and many other great podcasts at sanspantsradio.com. Thank you so much for listening. Also, we have a website now, allthesmallgames.com. Maybe we'll open next episode by... I'm going to make sure that everything is good. It's on my end. I need to give John a login. We need to update our about section, but the website is there. All the episodes are there. So Amazing. Head over to allthesmallgames.com. We'll give the appropriate shout outs to the good folks who the good folk. The good man, the big fella who's made our website next week.
Wait, God?
Yep, that's right.
The biggest fella God, of all?
No, shouts to Lex for making our website. We'll give him his dues next week and walk you through the website. The smallest game of all, a website. But yeah, head to allthesmallgames.com because I had to do a minimal amount of web stuff to help Lex, and I'm shit at it. Real shit. So go see my shit work and mostly his fantastic work. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
See you, everybody.